Hello and welcome to Monthly Movie Roundup. The show basically, it's kind of like a magazine, talk about the films that have come out and that are coming out, new releases and everything. So I'm Sam.
I'm Dan.
All right, well, should we just introduce ourselves?
All
Like,
right, buddy. Yeah,
yeah,
you go first.
I'm Sleepy Sam Co on the internet, on forums and on Twitter and things like that. And I'm into. Oh no, I've not thought of films that I like. Okay, I'm into things like Fight Club and Apocalypse Now, Mirror, so like pretentious stuff and Hollywood good stuff. Yeah.
Yes,
Dan?
I am Dan, Manchester Train Man or Zombie Creator, if you want to follow me on Twitter, plug. Yes, I do the Cult Fiction podcast, which you can find at cult fiction dot www.cultfiction.mypodcast.com or search Cult Fiction on iTunes, and you can hear my film taste there. I like any old shit.
All right, okay. Right, so the format of the show is usually going to be we'll introduce the show and say hi. We're going to s introduce any guests, like just how we've introduced ourselves, and then we're going to do so we'll review all the films that we've seen in the last month and talk about any new news, so like trailers or footage or whatever. So, like a magazine apart from it's us.
Yes,
But
digital.
this show, because it's the first ever one, we'll be doing like our top 15 films of the year so far, including August's films.
Yes.
Do you
Jump.
wanna do yours first?
All right, should I go from 15 to 1 or 1 to 15?
15 to 1, I suppose.
All right. Dun, 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 dun. Sorry, it's a bit of Top of the Pops there for you. Right then. Coming in at number 15 for me at least would be What's got fucking else? Here we are. 15 of me would have to be Harry Potter. Not the greatest one, but still.
Harry Potter, that's it. Alright, okay. I'm ashamed to
15
say
still.
this. I've seen 51 films so far. It's 33.
Yeah,
Ridiculous.
I have seen 25 films, and it's at number 15 because I saw Terminator Salvation this summer and Transformers 2. So there's some shit I've seen.
I saw G.I. Joe. Get that.
Oh, Benjamin Button.
I haven't seen that yet. I can't wait though.
It sucks my balls. It sucks like balls.
I don't want. It sucks yours.
Yes, mine, and sucks like balls.
Oh great. Okay. Well, I'll look forward to that. So yeah, Harry Potter. What did you like about it? I thought it was
Well, the thing.
teenage hormones.
Well, the thing was, I mean, come for this list here. There are things that, from what I've seen, that was the worst film I've seen this summer. But that I'd be willing to admit to, apart from Transformers 2 and the other one, as I just mentioned earlier on. This is the worst shit I'm gonna admit to. See, because the thing is, it was terrible. It cut out the best parts of the book, and it spoiled the whole some of the dynamics that had come from the seventh book. Listen
Yeah.
to me talking about dynamics in a children's series, but still, yeah, the all relationships that come up in the seventh book that are like a mystery till the end. But in this one, it's like, yeah, fuck, we need to fill up 2.5 hours. Yeah, cut that. Cut the interesting part. Yeah, cut out Voldemort's
I know
backstory, and
it's
bend on
two
the
and a half
Burrow.
hours long, and almost all of it's just about I fancy this person. Ooh, is she looking at me? Does she like me? Does he like me?
God, it's high
And it's
school all
just,
over again.
oh, I thought it was complete crap.
Yeah, that's yes. All right, coming at number 14 would be Fanboys. This is a very guilty film, but
I
I
haven't
love it.
seen this, so
Yes, it's basically a bit for those for the uninitiated, for you people who aren't hooked to the internet as I clearly am. It basically four Star Wars fans. One has cancer, and they plot to break into George Lucas's ranch to steal a print of Episode One. It's about 1998.
want to see that now. I
But
didn't know that's what it
it
was
has.
about.
It has the greatest laugh of almost any film. Fuck Chinatown, because what it is, the film ends with the meter's guy had cancer, died, and the three of them are sitting in a cinema. Episode one's about to start, and one turns to the other and goes, "Hang on, what if this sucks?" And the film just ends. If you're a Star Wars geek, it's brilliant. If you're not, don't go
Alright,
near.
okay, I'm gonna just throw this out right now. Star Wars is really bad. The original ones as well.
No, I enjoy them. First of all,
I thought you were gonna like rip me apart
not really. I like them
then.
on a technical level. If you look,
Right, okay.
I think he created for those films the original three. Like even the first shot of the first film, the spaceship coming over and the camera pulling back, That's you know, there's that. And although I will admit some of the stuff, I mean, I don't like Empire Strikes Back. I think it's a bit boring. But still, I have childhood fondness for them.
I wish David Lynch, was it Return of the Jedi? I wish David Lynch directed that. That would have been the best Star Wars film ever.
Yes.
You know, half a razor head, half.
The Ewoks walk backwards.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be perfect.
And Darth Vader's green. It's one
Leia
scene.
Gets stuck in a radiator and has to sing forever.
Yes.
What's your next one?
Next one, number 13 is The Taking of Pelham. 1, 2, 3. Now, have you seen this one?
Nope, I haven't seen it.
Well, the basic story of this one would be what's called a subway train in New York. It's taken over by John Travolta and his gang of people from other films. Yes. Is he people from the films? Because it's Louis Guzman plays like his little second in command, who's a little weedy fella. Brilliant. But yes, and it's Denzel Washington to fight injustice or something. I was too hazy, but for me, that's the biggest surprise of the year. I went to see it thinking it's going to be something trashy, but I got something fairly decent. And I haven't seen the original, so I can't say, oh, it's bastardising the source material. Because it's based on the book as well, but that's neither here nor there. But yes, that's my number 13.
All right, next one.
Right then. Coming up to number 12. Number 12 would have to be The Final Destination in 3D.
Oh, is it good?
I love it for reasons that it's good. It's good in the same way Final Destination 2 and 3 are good. They're not genuinely good films, but someone's head gets torn apart. They get literally ripped to pieces by a tyre.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
In 3D.
In 3D, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, because another part as well where some guy is talking to people through a chain link fence. Something hits from behind and bits of something squeeze through the fence and they come at you. It's awesome. But the thing is, it has. Journal films have the one flashback at the start where it's like, that didn't really happen. The guy's seen the future and I was going to change it. That happens twice in this film. and it's only 82 minutes long. This may also be the first 3D sex scene.
Have you seen My Bloody Valentine?
I saw that in 2D because the cinema name wasn't showing it in 3D at the time.
Oh, I saw it in 3D, like the naked woman running about.
Yeah.
And the midget that gets impaled.
Oh,
the
midget.
Ceiling.
I was going to say then, that's the best part in that entire film.
Or is it dwarf? I have no idea. I'm just taking that from In Bruges.
No.
Dwarf.
It's midget. I was watching The Office of the Night. Midget is a person who's just a bit smaller. A dwarf has got misproportioned limbs. Right now, I'm on number 11 now.
You just did Final Destination.
Yes, that was number 12. The Final Destination 3D. Number 11,
Du-du-du.
I would say The Hangover.
I haven't seen any of it.
Yes, you there. I've seen 50 films this year, and I've named some pretty big ones, apart from Fanboys. Not one fucker seeing that apart from me. Brent.
I know, but I go and see, like, the films I see are either the ones that my little sister can see that are big sellout films, like Transformers 2, or the little decent films, like, I don't know, Three Monkeys, maybe? Something like that.
That a prequel to 12 Monkeys?
No, not at all.
That was a joke. I know what the film is, mate. It was a poor attempt at humour.
I didn't know. I have no idea what to say then.
Well.
Right, okay. Right. Whatever was
next. The Hangover, if you've seen it, you know, it's a bit funny, but it's not amazing. Right, number 10. Watchmen.
Oh, I've seen Watchmen.
Oh, well, they
have you read the... Have you read the book?
Yes. I did a review for it on Books You Should Read about 2 years ago now.
I know, I haven't listened to it for ages, though. I listened to it when it came out. But yeah, well, I thought the book was way better, obviously, than the
film. The thing is, though, the ending is a big controversy, because people are saying, oh, they bastardised the ending, but in my opinion, they've made the ending a lot better, you know.
I think they made the ending better because of Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah.
So that it makes sense because he doesn't like humans anymore and all that lot. But what I don't like, and this sounds really morbid, is you don't see all the dead people. You know, there's like a whole chapter in the book where it's just pictures of dead people.
Yeah.
And it says like all these people who've died in a cinema and they go and see the Day of the Earth Stood Still and stuff like that. It's quite ironic.
Yeah, it's...
And it's got, obviously it's got, what's it called, you know, the dude on the boat.
What?
And it's like the guy in the boat in the book. There's the guy on the boat, and it like symbolizes
Oh,
everything that's
do you mean
happening.
the pirate story in it?
The Black
Blackface,
Tree.
yes. Well, the thing is,
I have that on DVD.
well, the thing is, they're releasing a version in it, like November or something, where it's like the extended version, but they've cut in the Black Freighter and under the hood stuff.
Oh, that's all. That's been released in America already.
Bastards!
I know.
To
Oh
the
no, it's not.
internet!
It's not been released already. It's being released like in 2 or 3 weeks, but like press release and everything.
Well, I have my multi-region DVD player. After this, I'm able to playusa.com. Now on to
There's too much slow motion in Watchmen, though. We might as well talk about it for a bit.
yeah, fine.
There's
Yes.
way too much slow motion in Watchmen.
The thing is, I don't mind slow motion because, but the thing is, the one point Watchmen I absolutely hate is the no.
I know, because I actually watched that just for that bit, because I got a digital copy on my iPod, so I watched that like yesterday. And he does it, and then there's like 2 or 3 seconds where all the guts fall down onto the ice, and you see all of the guts, and then he falls down and goes, no. Whenever, surely it'd be just as he does it that he'd go, no.
Or it'd be as
So it doesn't make
or it'd be
sense.
as you're saying, "Come on, kill me." You think they said, "No, Rorschach." Now, have you seen that?
Oh no.
Have you seen the Watchmen Saturday morning cartoon? Have you seen the intro to it?
Do you mean
Yeah.
the motion
No.
picture, the motion
No.
comics, or do you mean the cartoon
The cartoon.
that was
Yeah, the
done?
cartoon where it's a
I
piss
haven't seen
take.
it, but I've seen pictures.
It's.
It looks funny.
It's fucking hilarious because it's like cause it, you've got to see it to enjoy it. After the show, I'll send you the link to it. It's so worth a watch.
Cool.
Submitted. All right,
I love it.
then. Number 9, Public Enemies. Ding, 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 ding,
I
ding,
haven't
ding,
seen
ding.
that either. That's one that I'm so gutted that I didn't see Michael Mann film in the cinema.
Oh.
Heat's one of my favourite films, and I didn't. I had two opportunities to go and see it, but one of them was the day before I went on a plane for like 4 hours, so I didn't want to go then. And I can't remember, I thought I'll go another time the same time. Just.
Well, the thing is, what I mean, with Public Enemies, I mean, the thing is, a lot of people would know by the handheld, the handheld HD-ness of it, but I'd really mind that, you see, because the thing is, well, from technically, I mean, the style shot, I don't really mind it, but the thing is, I mean, it was good, but the thing is, a lot of parts where it was a bit overly long, this one, just certain aspects where it
Well, the whole handheld HD thing, which I don't get, is people are like, oh yeah, they didn't have high definition handheld cameras whenever the film's like based and all that lot, which is like one of the arguments against it. But that's like saying you can't do any period film that doesn't, like if you're making a film based, I don't know, 40 years ago, it's got to be black
Well,
and white.
yes,
That's just
Sam.
stupid.
Because don't forget, everyone in the past, it in the past, every for like 1970, everything was in sepia tones, wasn't it? It's
Yeah.
fucking stupid that. But I mean, as a film, but anyways, it was all right. It was about Jan Dillinger. I like the trailers a lot more than the actual film.
Yeah. I know, do you know what
Well.
annoyed me? I actually know what I think happens in the end, because in High Fidelity, he says that it happened behind that
Yes.
cinema. I might be completely wrong, but is
Yes,
that
that's right.
right?
Outside the X cinema here.
Yeah, I watched it. I watched it, and he's like, yeah, and he starts like yelling about it, because he's going on about his girlfriend in the
Yes.
film. And I'm like, oh, I didn't want to know that. I want to watch Public Enemies.
Ah, well.
Like, I was gutted. Yeah,
All
but.
right then. Right then, on to number 8. For me, that would be Milk.
Oh, I have milk on mine. I like milk. There's a Cult Fiction
Yes,
episode of
there
it,
is.
isn't there?
Me, Matt, and Rob gushing over it.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Why, how much? Yeah, you like it a
Yes,
lot.
not the film of the year, but the thing is,
Ooh.
I've seen a lot of good stuff, but since then, but I really enjoyed Milk. Really enjoyed it. But it's just the story. I mean, it's obviously. I mean, a lot of it is a lot of it was written to you to make the audience feel sympathy. Like, but obviously, we feel sympathy anyway. But I was been the you know I was it was edited to make it tug at heartstrings a little bit. But I fell for it.
Yeah, I do think Sean Penn was very worthy for
Yeah.
the Oscar, if it wasn't for the fact that Mickey Rourke was just that bit better. Like any other year, he could
but Sean Penn now, he's now in the air, the two Oscar club, him and Daniel Day-Lewis. It's just those two guys in a bar somewhere drinking together. Two Oscar club.
What did he get his Oscar for?
I think he got it for.
It wasn't Iron Sam.
No, yes, because as Robert Downey Jr. rightly said, never go full retard. But never go full retard, man. Never go full retard.
That's the only reason.
That's what I know about that whole thing.
I am Sam. Come on.
Okay. I think he got it for. He directed. What was it? Mystic River. I think he got it for that. Was that a Clint movie?
Oh no, he didn't direct it, but yeah, he was in it. Clint Eastwood directed.
Yeah,
Mystic River.
Best actor.
Best
actor fit for Mystic River. Then that's what it was. Yes.
It's quite a good film.
But the thing is, I once again the film that I felt was with the there were so many parts that he was totally cut out. But still, Mystic River. That's a key for another time. But that yes, but Milk, I really enjoyed it a lot. All right then.
I thought it was good, but I don't think I liked it as much as you.
Right, number 7 would be Coraline.
Ooh, Coraline's 8 on mine. Yeah, I liked Coraline. I wish I saw it in 3D.
I saw it on DVD from America. Yes, that'll do. I saw it on DVD from America.
Yeah, I have a DVD from America of it, but... actually I think it was from Japan or somewhere. I can't remember, but I was given a DVD of it. That's not a lie at all, actually. But I saw it in the cinema. But there are some bits, like, you know, whenever the father in the button eyes world turns around and his arms come out. There were some bits like that which were really obviously, hey, 3D, we'll poke you. But I thought it was supposed to be really good 3D. Ben, who hopefully will come on the show sometime. He said that it was the best cinema experience of his life. And for a guy who
and hates the world,
that's quite positive.
He's hated everyone and everything, but still, that's me attacking him for no reason. But the thing is, I'd read the Neil Gaiman book. But you see, the book gets far darker.
I haven't read it, but I love him.
American Gods, one of the best books ever.
I read 3 Neil Gaimans.
Which ones?
This holiday. Good Omens. Good Omens.
Yeah.
Is
Terry Pratchett. I don't find them funny.
Oh no, I find some of them funny. You know, I find the bits when he just says two children and America, whatever. But not everything is funny.
I enjoyed Reaper Man. That was quite good. Reaper Man. That's where Death takes a holiday, and becomes a farmhand for a brief time. That's all right. Anyways, right, onwards and upwards to number 6, Moon.
Moon, that's my 5th. I really, really liked Moon. It just clicked with me.
Yeah, but the thing is in that film as well, the one thing I really enjoyed was a lot of practical effects in it. Enjoyed the Loon Buggies. That's awesome.
Yeah. All of it. It's just like half of it's just a model in a garage somewhere.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yes. And but
how much was it? Was it 10 million for the whole film?
No, about 5 or 6. It was stupidly cheap.
5 or 6? Oh, yeah. That just more respect for it.
Yeah, but the thing is, I think it was as Mike Dawson said in the Cult Fiction Mike Dawson interview, it's like an extended episode of the Twilight Zone. It's a good one, but not really a film. That would work, you know, as sort of like, you know, 45 minutes to an hour on TV.
Yeah. But I'm looking forward to his next film, which is in the same universe, but it's like it's based on Earth. I can't remember what it was about, but it's the same universe and it's the same time. Like,
anything. I was on to number anyway, 5 on my list, Star Trek. Did you see Star Trek?
I put that below Moon.
Small side because the fact that it's you know, it's Siler.
Yeah, sure.
But
I thought he worked so well as Spock.
Well, yeah, but the brief flashes. It's like the part where him and Kirk are fighting on the main deck of the ship, and he's going to go to the table. And he's going to cut his head open. the breathing of his silence.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
But so nonetheless, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, it was a thrill ride, and I was right there. But the thing is, I heard as well that they're releasing a director's cut on DVD, but an actual media director's cut, because there's the whole point where Eric Banner, his character, gets taken to prison by these Klingons. And he's in prison, and his crew break out of there. Like a whole sequence.
Did you read the comics?
No, I didn't. I see. I'm not a big Trek fan at all. But hell, this movie was awesome.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've literally never watched Star Trek before, and I loved it. But I didn't. I went to see it with my dad, and my dad used to be big into Star Trek, and he was like, "Oh, this is whoever. I think he's well cast or whatever." The whole way through the film, and I had no idea what he was on about. I just knew that was, what's his name? I'm ashamed to not remember his name.
Shatner.
Captain Kirk, the original one. Shatner.
Jesus Christ.
I know I forgot Shatner. That's the only thing that I know about Star Trek is that William Shatner. And Galaxy Quest.
Yeah, Galaxy Quest. Yeah. But Star Trek, but the thing is, it was made by J. Abrams, who's a Mr. Star Wars fan. So this is made for people who don't like Star Trek, so it was perfect for me. And obviously it was good for you as well.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes. All right, then.
I thought it was really good as a comedy as well. It was really funny.
Simon Pegg was brilliant in it, because from the trailers, he looked a little bit goofy, but I watched Simon Pegg anything. I watched Run Fat Boy Run, for fuck's sake. I watched that movie. Ha.
I know, I did as well.
It's a stain in my soul. All right, here. My number four. Now, you may think it's too high up, but I'm a massive horror geek, so it's Drag Me to Hell, number four. Sam Raimi's back, motherfucker.
Fair enough. I actually think I'm going to bump it up a few places. Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, because me and...
Although, when I went to see it, a girl was sick in the cinema. she started being sick, so she ran out. And she never came back in, so I guess she was sick.
That reminds me of when I saw... Well, it sort of reminds me of the time I saw W. There was me and two mates who were with the film W in the cinema. Right, we went on Saturday morning, and then we went in there. There was us three and one other guy. And while he was sitting there, he watched all the trails, and he walked out and never came back. But he bought a ticket or something for that film, but, you know, he wasn't a member of the cinema. You know, he wasn't like a staff member, and he was just some guy who walked out of the screen after the trailers ended. One of the oddest things... Drag Me to Hell, I mean, it's Raimi being Raimi again. You know, fuck Spider-Man, forget all that shit, man.
I know, and it's just like Evil Dead 2, where every single, like, thing that happens, you're like, oh, no, this is the best bit. No, wait, this is the best bit, the whole way.
See,
there's, like, the eye in the kit, and the nosebleed,
the mouth vomiting.
And the cat.
Vomiting. Do you remember how the corpse flips over? And he goes,
yeah, that's just horrible.
Or in the bed.
I know, the thing I don't get is, out of all of these things like that, the bit that she ran out of and was like, oh, was the bit when she was having the cake, which I suppose is understandable.
I'm sorry, but after you see a corpse vomit in someone's mouth, you're changed inside from that point onwards, aren't you? So,
yeah.
Although the best bit in the entire film for me was...
What, have you seen?
The talking goat.
Sorry,
the talking goat was the single greatest moment in that film.
Oh,
that was
definitely
awesome. It's just like, it's so good, and people taking it seriously as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the ending's brilliant. I'm not going to say the ending, obviously, because that wrecked it, but it's just...
Yeah, the ending, what's it called? I mean, it was perfect, because, I mean, none of that, like, Hollywood bullshit. It was just, here's the ending, it's Raimi's ending. Deal with it.
Exactly.
See, because I'm a fan of Sam Raimi, because, I mean, I love all the Evil Dead movies.
I like 1 and 2, and I need to rewatch 3, but I didn't like it. I love the ending of 3.
Which ending, though? The future ending?
The decent ending. The one where he's in the shop.
Yeah.
Hail to the King, baby.
See, because...
That's just brilliant. But on my DVD, that's not...
Yeah,
that's
it for me. I bought News Country because I think someone showed me a video of it years ago. Like, my cousin or someone showed it on video. And that's the ending when he showed me it. But I watched it get it on DVD, finally, and it's the wrong ending. I'm thinking, what? I don't remember the shit ending. The reason was much better, like, in the shop, the massive shootout at the end. That made the film.
I know,
for
but
me.
The ending. Yeah, the decent ending is, like, amazing, but the other ending is just, like, exactly the same as Evil Dead.
Yeah, no, that was the one thing that was lacking from Drag Me to Hell, was no Bruce Campbell. Where was Bruce?
I know. Have you seen Darkman?
No.
Darkman's like, it's Sam Raimi's superhero kind of thing, where this guy, and he gets like beaten up and burnt and all that lot. And he, it's Liam Neeson. It's actually quite good fun. And he basically, like, once he's able to walk and that lot, he's like covered in bandages, so he's a bit like a mummy. And he makes a machine that can make faces, so he can have his face, because it's all burnt off. But he can, if he gets like a picture, he can make faces of everybody else. And like, I won't spoil like all the action and that lot, but it's really funny because like the police are after him in the end, and he makes a different face for himself, and then at the end it's all serious, and it's like, I've got a new face, and you see him walking through the streets, and it's Bruce Campbell. It was like, yes,
Awesome. I know about this.
this,
Ooh.
and I didn't even know it was Sam Raimi because I saw it on Sky one time, and my dad was like, oh yeah, you should watch this, and I was like, okay, and then Bruce Campbell at the end, I was like, yes, and then I found out it was Sam Raimi and watched it again.
Gotta love Bruce. 'Cause I mean, he's why I watched that show Burn Notice. The show was all right, but it's Bruce Campbell. He's in TV show that actually succeeded for the first time in history. Because
Yeah.
no, 'cause he's known for getting shows cancelled. Every pilot he's ever done, his show gets cancelled. But still, that's enough Bruce talk, I think. Right, onto now, my big three of the year. Number three is In the Loop, the In the Thick of It movie.
Yeah, I've only recently seen In the Thick of It, which is just genius.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Did you know as well one of the guys from In the Thick of It got arrested for being a pedo? Because he was because he has like 14,000 things of child porn because he was researching a role.
What? Which what? Who?
One of the I can't remember who. Look it up though, because like one of the guys from In the Thick of It got arrested for being a paedophile. Seriously,
Whoa. That's
ask
just.
Ben about it. Next time comes online, ask him about it because he will say cause it's been ages since I've seen The Thick of It. I can't remember who got arrested, but one of them got arrested. It wasn't Malcolm because he's in this film, but it was someone.
Malcolm's
But
genius.
the amount of swearing that man does, I mean.
I love it, the one where, oh, I can't remember his name. You know the guy with the
Yeah.
glasses who's got the
Yes.
girlfriend, and he goes to number 10 because he's doing the opposition or whatever.
Yes.
And there's the other Scottish guy, and he's just like Malcolm.
Yeah.
That's just
Oh, I
brilliant.
had to buy that on DVD at some point, you know. Did you?
I want to buy it on DVD, but it was really cheap on iTunes, so I just bought it on
How
my
much is that?
iPod.
How much is that on iTunes?
It's 99p an
To rent or to
episode.
buy?
To
Fucking hell!
buy.
After this, I'm right there.
I know. I just. It was 99p an episode. I'm like, but they don't have the specials. You know the seasons? The seasons 3 episodes long, but there's two of them, so there's 6 episodes and two
Yeah.
specials. Yeah. They've not got the specials, so I haven't seen
Oh,
them.
it's upsetting. I may well just buy it all on DVD.
Yeah, I might buy it
Fuck
on
it, it'd
DVD
be worth it because
because.
it's one of those shows that's so it's sort of like Arrested Development. It's so good you have to buy it on DVD.
Arrested Development is just a genius. If you ever do in Cult Fiction, Arrested Development,
Well.
seriously, I want to be on it. That it's just such
Well,
a
the
good
thing is,
show.
we'll probably do cooks because I'll probably love it. So we'll probably do like a season, an episode a season, to get everyone on there
Yeah.
to get their say in. That's gonna be big enough.
What? All right. Okay. Just quickly, what's your favorite Arrested Development moment?
Do you know the bit where Tobias dresses up as Mrs. Featherbottom and he jumps and he's got the umbrella in that in the end model home and he's trying to sing to Maybe and he goes.
Oh
When you then he
yeah.
crashes through the table and the picture falls off the wall. That's the
That
greatest moments.
is just
That's one of the
genius.
greatest
My
moments. One.
favorite. No, the best bit's whenever he's they're the doctor and he always like says the
Yeah.
wrong thing. And oh, what's his name? The special needs
Which one?
guy.
Special needs guy.
The special
Oh,
needs
Buster.
brother. Buster, and Buster gets attacked by a seal, and he's like, he's gonna be all right. And they're like, oh, thank goodness. And he's like, why are you acting like that? He's lost his left hand. He's going to be all
Oh,
right.
it's good
And
as
they're
well.
like,
When Buster comes home from the army one day, and he's been on the boardwalk, and he's been on all those games, and he comes back with all these cuddly toys, and he goes, "Buster, where have you been? I've been to army, mother. The seal is for marksmanship."
yeah.
was one wearing a Tobias dressed up as a mole, and George Miles got the jetpack, and they're fighting over them over the little model houses, and they've got all the Japanese investors watching. Amazing rest of development. Oh, it's absolutely amazing. All right then. Just so many. I would say that that's one of the very few shows. It's like Futurama. There's never been a bad episode. You can pick me one and go, oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, it's just. Oh, right. Anyone who's not bought already by it, who's a bloke or into women, Charlize Theron's in season 3.
Just Mr. Watch F.
It. Although she is. Mr. F. Yeah, that's just.
Oh, British eyes only. Oh, it's.
Oh, yeah. Zip wire.
Oh, the fall of Mary Poppins every hour on the hour. Rita's them special prize. It's a chocolate thing.
I can't believe he turned down getting bum paddled by Charlize Theron. What idiot.
Yeah. Well, that magazine. Bum paddles. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. The music that plays over it.
I've seen your magazines.
It's great. The other guy.
And the invisible lock.
when you open the door, I'm locked in.
I can't come out. Like, okay.
And close the window, or I want to have sexual relations. Tobias in general in that program. I want something that says "Dad's into leather." Leather daddy? There's such a thing? Oh, that's brilliant.
I just blew myself.
It's infinitely close, below, you know. Or Selfish Michael. Selfish Michael. See, because I know someone who's actually called Michael, so I can use that any time, any day. Just Selfish Michael. Oh. Anyways, right, on to my number two, which is a lot more sobering, which is Let the Right One In.
Oh, yes.
Well, the thing is, Rich, for me, I was classed as a 2008 film because the UK got shafted on this film. The rest of the world had it last year. We get it in, like, April this year.
I know. It was. I saw it in a film festival I was enduring, and so I felt very lucky seeing it a month earlier. But then when I realised.
The world's seen it before you.
Everybody else in the world had seen it. I was like, what?
Down I go.
But yeah, it is very. The only problem I have with it is that CGI, cats.
Yeah.
The guy's face.
One CGI I have a problem as well is the same part where it's a bit okay then. The part where in the hospital room where the woman goes, open the curtains. That CGI looks a bit dodgy. Wait.
Yeah, but
the creepiest part is the guy in the boys' locker room. I'm trying to spoil, you see. When he spills the bottle on himself, so they can't recognise him.
That's
and when you see him again later at the hospital, and you see him, that's all. It's,
yeah.
No.
Have you read the book? The books, it's pretty much exactly the same, apart from there's paedophilia in it.
Oh,
like you know the guy.
I've heard that. I've heard that guy was into her.
Yeah. Instead of it being, well, because you know. Like, without spoiling it, it's all about manipulation or it's love. You're never really sure. And, you know, by the end, the old guy, you don't know whether he was like Oscar and he was a little kid that grew up with her or whether he's a paedophile. But in the book, he's a paedophile and he's just into kids. And, like, and so, like, in the book, he, you know, when he goes out to get the blood at the beginning and messes up, and he doesn't want to do it, he's like, and or whatever, I can't remember in the film, but in the book, he goes, oh, I'll do it if I get to sleep with you. And, you know, because she's not a girl. He's just, like, dry humping her.
It's that's stuff creepy, because in my mind, I prayed a lot more when, in my mind, at least when I watched the film, I thought it was, like, some kid who you know, at the end of the film, how Oscar gets friendly with her. I thought the same thing had happened with that guy, and he'd just gotten old and she hadn't.
Yeah.
That makes it a lot darker now than it already. I mean, you know, Head in the Pool, that was only pretty dark at the end, but still.
Dark?
At the end, when it was in the water, and it's like, okay, it's masker time.
Yeah, but it's just. It's
and when she.
The thing. The thing is I feel sorry for, you know, the kid who doesn't like being a part of it, but not the kid who's bothered by violence, but the other one who messes about with him. He gets, like, decapitated. He, like, gets cut in two or something, I can't remember. And I felt sorry for him because, like, he seemed
But
a
the
bit
worst, though, is the kid that gets left. The one of the four kids who gets left alive. Who you think, what's he going to live with the rest of his life now? Just the things he's seen her do.
Yeah.
Right then. And
it's good. It's good. Very, very,
yes,
very,
but I mean,
very good film.
Yes.
Just so well acted
well,
and short.
That
and
film's trumped by my number one, everything. Which, if you haven't guessed by now, Inglourious Bastards.
Whoop, whoop. I saw this. I saw this. Ooh, when did I see this? I saw this 8 hours ago. It started for me. It's just amazing. I'm in a way. I'm glad Ben's not here. Cause
it's I say it's best film this year. It's up to it's all the Pulp Fiction and Tarantino's work. It, because the thing is, I saw this film a week before. No, sorry, 5 days before it came out in the UK. Because I saw an advanced screening. I paid like £8 to see an advanced screening for it. I was buzzing for 2 days afterwards. The bus ride home, the next day, the day after, I was just buzzing for ages after seeing it because it was just absolutely fantastic. Just...
Yeah, well, like I say, I saw it today, and tomorrow I was planning on going to the cinema to see The Hurt Locker, 500 Days of Summer, and or Funny People. But I might just scrap
it's,
all that and
it's
go and
so
see
worth
this
it.
Again. It's just so... Yeah, and you've got to see it in the cinema. Like... If you've not already seen it, go and see it.
Go see it again.
Seen it
I mean,
already,
I'm
see
probably
it
seeing it next week. You see, because it's one of those that it's going to be, you know, be Pulp Fiction when I watch it like every few months. Because the thing is with this film, you either intensely love it or you hate it with a passion. There's no it's like a middle ground. With reviews, mixed reviews, I'll say 2 out of 10 or 10 out of 10. There's no kind of like it was okay. Everything. I mean, but the thing is, I would say in certain points of this film, Tarantino captured like insanity on camera. Do you know the part in the bar when it all goes shit in the bar, and like the 30 seconds of just absolute violence personified? I mean, that's insanity on screen, just everything.
Yeah, and also you know the bit.
Yes.
The first time you see the bastards, and then it cuts to Hitler going 999. And then Hitler's talking about the bear Jew, and then it cuts to Eli Roth killing the guy, and there's that whole scene. But like the first shot of like that scene is this guy getting scalped.
But the thing is, well, that's one thing of potential major props on this film is what's called for certain words he doesn't subtitle them. Do you know, like him? We, because obviously the whole world knows what that means, doesn't it? So you know he didn't subtitle that part, but other bits, obviously the more complex parts. He would need to.
Yeah, but also at the same time, instead, whenever someone said mercy, blah, 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 it would say in the subtitles, mercy, I want to go to a toilet, or whatever it was that was stupid, but you know, it would say mercy, not thanks, at points.
But
which,
the thing as well, now, there were a few points in the film that I really like. Now, the one part is, the part in the projection booth at the end when that guy just randomly turns into his character. All the way through he's been like, I'm a good guy, no one else is a bastard, I'm going to kill you. Ah!
I know, but no, but I suppose...
Oh, fine, spoil bastard.
Right, well, just spoils, okay.
You haven't seen by now, you're a bad person. Sorry,
yeah, right. But you're an inglorious bastard, if you haven't seen it. Right, okay. But she did shoot him. And he was expecting her to, like, you know, do him, so, like, what?
Well, no, not that, it's not the really fact that, basically, all through the film, he's been a gentleman, he's gone, like, okay, I like you. He's been nice and tender with her. But then at the end, he goes, right, I'm going to absolute bastard now, for no reason, out of the blue. But there was no hint of that coming up.
Well, no, there is
no, even before that, when he was projecting with her, he's telling him, no, fuck off, go away. At that point, he turns, doesn't he? Do you know what I mean? But the thing is, obviously, you know, there's nothing to imply that though. I mean, he's got off the seat and going, right, then I'm gonna go and be an absolute bastard to her now. There's nothing to foreshadow it.
Yeah, because she tried to close the door.
It's just the fact that he just turns randomly in that one scene. there was that, and do you know the flashback of what's her name, of Shlozana, the cinema owner? Well, the thing is, right, do you want to first need to that the Hans Lander, the Jew Hunter fella, and she has the flashback to when she was like 4 years ago. I felt that was really unnecessary, because for the amount of credit Tarantino was giving his audience.
Yeah, there were some moments where it was like, "Hello, Wendy. You know, this is, you know, film was flammable at one point."
Do you know the whole the Shlozana and the bloke she's run the cinema with, right? The fact that they're together, that's implied. There's no kissing or there's no "I love you, dear." There's none of that. It's just they're together, and you can tell it's tender moments. If he's giving the audience enough credit to understand that, why can't he give them credit to understand what's going on with the whole flashback? Because when he showed the girl running away, you know, it was obvious who it was when she turns blazer on. But apart from that, there were two problems with that film. I mean, everyone else. Yeah. I mean, I'm probably the only person on this earth who thought Eli Roth gave an alright performance. Everyone else seemed to hate him.
Oh, well, the thing is, whenever he comes out and beats that guy to death, he so obviously is a psycho. I mean, this guy makes Hostel, he makes Cabin Fever, and whatever. He's obviously crazy. It's so obvious.
There's something very creepy about Eli Roth as well. Is it what's called his parents are psychiatrists, and they're like, "Yeah, Hostels, they're fine films. He's getting out aggression."
Oh yeah, I read something. And he was like, Empire, like, "Oh yeah, so what do you think of the films that he's making?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, we love him. They, you know, they come on set. We come on set all the time and watch him make people, you know, do whatever."
Yeah, I had an interview with a podcast called Creative Screenwriting Podcast, and they interviewed him, and you hear him speaking. It's like, "All right, mate, I'm just gonna back away now and take the knives away. I'm just gonna back out the door and run."
Yeah.
But when you see him, he does play a psycho very well. Because when he seems like standing with those like awkward smile of "I'm gonna kill you all" on his face.
Yeah, we've spoiled him. We've spoiled the bit whenever he's shooting Hitler. So amazing.
And he just and he makes like a meat patty. It's like brah. And just keeps shooting him and shooting him.
5 to 7 second shot of Hitler's head being decapitated and messed up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just. Oh, it's genius. It's like a Jewish propaganda film.
Yeah. Well, the thing with it as well, what's cool is that before it came out, everyone was like, "Oh, it's disgraceful, it's just about killing Nazis." It's not at all. Everyone's judging it on the trailer going, "Oh, it's just about those, but them killing Nazis, it's going to be horrible." Because not all Nazis are bad. In the film, it shows you. In the film, the bastards aren't the heroes. Because there's that one guy, the one Nazi they meet in the underpass who they send back to Hitler, and he's going, "I don't want to be a part of this, this is all sick, I'm just going to bear my uniform when this is all over."
Yeah.
And Brad Pitt goes, "Yeah, well, I'm just going to carve this into your forehead because you're a part of it."
I think the bastards aren't heroes, but they are bastards.
Well, that's what I think.
I like the bastards.
I think the bastards are like the anti-heroes in a way.
Yeah. I think the hero out of all of them, I think, is probably, what's her name?
Diane Kruger.
No, the other
Shlozana.
One. Shoshana.
Shlozana, yes.
Yeah, I think she's the hero of the piece, because she's getting revenge for her family, isn't she?
Well, I suppose, yeah.
She dies for the cause as well.
Oh, at the end, but the worst of it was when Hans Lander strangled Diane Kruger. In the booth, it's brutal.
It's just painful to watch that because she's like shaking and he's just smashing her head on the floor. I love the bit whenever she's done the video saying "ha ha ha, I'm burning down the building."
Yes.
And there's all the smoke coming up, but because the projector's still going, it's projecting onto the smoke, so her face is like in fire. In fire, and then it's on the smoke. It's just so clever that kills the Nazis with film. Oh, such a good film.
Definitely.
I better than Reservoir Dogs. That's what I say. The more I think about it.
Yeah, well, the thing is, for me, it's almost better than Pulp Fiction. But I'll need to see Battersea Pass a few more times before I make the final decision on that. But
yeah,
it's almost there.
Go that far now, but maybe.
Yeah, well, that's my list done. Do you want to quickly whip through your top 15?
Well, I'm just quickly going to give it a reshuffle because I'm not happy with it now.
Have I changed your opinion on some films?
Yeah. Well, it's just talking with you. And, right, I'm not going to put Slumdog Millionaire in the list because I think maybe next show we could, if Ben's on, me and you can take on Ben.
That's what mine as well. We talked before this about, you know, he loves Slumdog, so I thought best not to get into it now. Wait for him to be there to defend one of the best.
It was already my 16th best film, so when we're doing top 15, it's okay. So my top 15 is Watchmen, which we've talked about. And then Milk, The Class. Did you see The Class? That's 13th, The Class.
No.
It's French film, and it's basically a teacher and he gets a new class and they like the class. None of the teachers want to teach because they're all a bunch of knobs, basically. And so he gets class, and over time he gets a bit of a understanding and a relationship with the class. I'm doing hand movements, I don't know why.
I can't see them. Can the audience?
I know, and even you can't see me and I'm talking to you, so yeah, there's no point. But so he's trying to get along with his class, and he gets two class presidents, or whatever you want to call them, and they come in during a meeting and listen to the meeting and take notes for the kids and bring in ideas that the kids have brought in. And then the next day at school, they come in and they say, oh yeah, he was bitching about you and he was telling the teachers about you. And the teacher says, you two are acting like a bunch of sluts. Or something like that, and he basically calls these two girls slags and sluts or whatever, and it starts a bit of a fight, and a girl gets like her eye smashed, and it's really simple. Kumar and Ben both absolutely love it. It was all right. It was good, well made film, but it was so realistic and so well acted. It just felt like you were at school.
Did you see a film called The Wave? Came out last year.
Nope.
No, that was a German one. But basically, it was about this teacher who's stuck with this autocracy course. It was teaching all these kids about how the Nazis came to power and such, about how it could never happen again. The kids are saying, "Oh, this is going to happen again. We're all smarter now." And basically, what he does is the teacher basically sets up this little cult within the class. It's like this little party, and they start and it's going a bit like Project Mayhem. It's like going on like spraying the symbol everywhere and taking it a bit too seriously. And it all builds to the scene at the end, basically where all the kids are in this uniform that they've got, the teacher's worked out. And leads from that thing at the end, and the teacher goes, right, I am your leader. Bring you all to the assembly at the end of the film. And then the film, he goes, yes, look what you're all done. We're all in another thing, like back when Nazis were in power. He points out, you know, how easy it is to get them all into like this kind of cult state, if you will. He points it out to them.
Yeah.
It's a powerful bit at the end. Then it gets a bit melodramatic.
What was it called?
The Wave, or Die Well. The Wave. It's well worth a watch. German movie.
I love filming that.
It's so good. Right. But I won't spoil the ending for you. But if towards the end it gets a bit melodramatic. I won't compare to it, because if I compare to something, you'll know the ending then.
Okay,
I have
cool.
Explained this in very
we'll,
good, but
we'll
you
that then,
check it out.
I don't
That's definitely a cult fiction someday. It's such a good film. Sorry, you can go on your list.
Right, 12, Gran Torino. Have you seen that?
Yes, I saw that.
Did you not
like
it?
Not really.
I thought it was good fun. I thought it was... Thinking about it now, I put quite a few other films above it. I don't know why I put it in my top 15, but... I thought it was good fun. It's a comedy, you know. He's being racist, and it's very funny the way he's being racist.
Yeah,
but it's not groundbreaking or anything. Just Clint Eastwood being a bit.
The theme tune's fucking hilarious. So when you hear Clint singing, but he's singing it in that gruff tone, so tenderly, da da da. It's like, you know, he's been drinking whiskey since he was like 5. That's how he gets that voice. And when he sings, it's awesome.
You know what, right? I'm taking Gran Torino out. Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Oh, fuck sake, man.
Don't you like that? Not at all. Are you not a Woody,
Allen
fan?
But that film was so pretentious. It was like, what is love? What is love? You know, it's called, what is love?
All Woody Allen films are pretentious if you're going to be like that. Annie Hall, he's talking about death the whole time.
But I didn't like it at all, because it was like, what is love? I ain't going to find love. Vicky knows what she wants. Christina doesn't know what she wants. Oh, they're going to find love. What is love? Fuck off and die, all of you. I hate you all. Here we are, Barnum. Get back to No Country. Get back with the ball cut right now.
Have you seen the trailer to Whatever Works?
No.
Yeah, it's the guy from Kirby.
Larry David.
And he's... Yeah, and he's obsessed with death. So, and it looks like, what's happening when I die? What's happening when I die? So if you don't like, what's love? You're probably
well,
not.
Well, the thing
like
is,
that.
It's the fact that it's, well, the thing is, well, what's her name? Who played Christina in that movie? The blonde one.
Her
Scott eyebrows annoy me. She's beautiful to look at, but still, her face, the eyebrows, it's just, what's going on there?
But it's Scarlett Johansson.
She ain't.
Oh, you're such an idiot. Scarlett Johansson.
She ain't all that. I'm sorry. She isn't.
Oh, I'm angry now. I'm not actually
I see
angry
what,
now.
I re-
Scarlett, I'm never going to knock a film where Scarlett Johansson and Penelope Cruz make
now,
out.
Penelope
I'm
Cruz,
sorry.
I'll give you. She played crazy well and she's hot as all.
No, Scarlett Johansson over Penelope
no,
Cruz.
No. Scarlett Johansson, I see what is it, Malcolm Ackerman from Watchmen. I see her as like, you know, the new one. You know, as the new Scarlett Johansson.
Well, that
Malcolm Ackerman, yes.
Mate, she's not that good.
She's running around in a tight, you know, in a fucking in a little cat for most of that movie. What?
Oh, do you know what I am looking forward to? Iron Man 2. Sam Rockwell. Ooh. Scarlett Johansson.
Who's got Johansson in it?
Mickey Rourke.
Who's got Johansson in it?
All on top.
Is Scarlett Johansson the ginger assistant again?
No. Gwyneth Paltrow was the assistant. Scarlett Johansson's like flame bird or something. I don't know anything about Iron Man. I'll check it out now. Yeah, but it looks really, really good. There's a trailer out, actually, it says here.
It's going to be fake.
Right. Okay. Robert Downey Jr., obviously. Scarlett Johansson, the Black Widow. Edward Norton is playing Bruce Banner, so obviously...
Ooh, crossover.
You know, have you seen yeah, Incredible Hulk whenever...
At the end, we walked to that bar, yeah. Actually, Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of the programme The Wire? The Wire?
I haven't.
Well, the thing is, there's a big character in The Wire called Omar, who's a massive character, and he's in the Incredible Hulk for 2 seconds. He's running away from an explosion. It's awesome.
Oh, Samuel L. Jackson is in Iron Man 2.
Sam Jackson. Who's he going to play?
Nick Fury. Mickey Rourke's Whiplash. Paul Bettany's Jarvis. Sam Rockwell's Justin Hammer, Gwyneth Paltrow's Pepper Potts, John Favreau's Hogan, Don Cheadle's the Colonel guy who's War Machine as well. Stan Lee's in it as well, obviously. Actually, the cast.
I find Gwyneth Paltrow to be incredibly wet as a person. Like, ever seen the program Star Stories on Channel 4? Because
they
bring her in as a character in one of the stories, and they have like run off going like, I've got to help an animal somewhere, and she like saunters off somewhere. She's like the kind of person that was in my mind. That's how she'll have forever be known. So tenderly.
I've just sent you a link. So if anybody else wants to like check this picture out, Scarlett Johansson in Iron Man 2 on the IMDb page. She looks really quite stupid, really. I think she's got like. Ginger hair and black eyebrows.
You see, the eyebrow again is probably like eyebrows, what? It's like some kid I once knew at school who was with ginger hair but really dark black eyebrows. It was weird. Oh, yes.
It's like that guy from Busted.
Oh, yes. Busted. those boots out of their time. No, Firefox is frozen. Just keep going with your list. Where were you? Sorry. Yes, we're doing a list and everything here.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. that sums it up. After that, no, not oh, quite the, Hollywood.
I've seen that. Quite good.
Ozploitation. I was really taken by it. Because basically, the idea is it's a rundown of
Mad Max
exploitation films, you know, grindhouse films, whatever you want to call them, you know. Quentin Tarantino's in it a lot, going, yeah, yeah, man, I love this, I love that, man, yeah, yeah. But he goes on about saying, you know, whatever, this film's good. But it shows clips of the films, and it shows what was important in the films. So it goes from nudity in sets, which there is a lot of in the film, to violence, which there is also an awful lot of in the film.
Well, you know,
I can't really
Max,
remember what
it?
Else there is, but, you know, that pretty much sums up the film.
I
yeah, there's a
Mad
lot
Max.
About Mad Max and car chases in it and stuff as well.
That's just...
I've never seen Mad Max. But I was interested to hear what they were saying about Mad Max. And, like, most of the Ozploitation films, Mad
yes.
Max, like, you know, it's all on
did
the road and stuff a lot of the time. And car
yeah,
chases...
Yeah, I've heard about that.
He didn't even tell the police or...
It was very, very French connection of just fucking run.
It's just crazy. And, like, flipping... They were flipping cars off. Yeah, they were like flipping cars over and car crashes.
Excellent.
And, oh, it's just mental. And then, coming after that, an other documentary. Actually, when I look at my list of films I've seen, so many of them are like documentaries and non-fiction. Like, I'll just quickly
haven't
go through
Shay.
Them. There's Che. There's The Age of Stupid. Che, yeah, I always say Che for some reason. Age of Stupid, Anvil, Damned United... American Teen, Frost Nixon.
Ooh, Frost Nixon made your list.
It's 27.
Oh.
I thought it was rubbish. Valkyrie, Bronson. The Reader's Fate. What am I thinking of? Yeah, but there's quite a lot of obviously like documentary and biopic films in there.
Yeah. Did Religious make your list?
Not seen it. I'm interested to see it because, like,
it's the most biased documentary ever made by man.
Well, I read a review saying, like, and it was written by like a strong atheist saying, "Oh, right, well, you know, I'd love this film if it proved a point." But the fact that, like, most of the time he's interviewing idiots, so like, he's interviewing a man that dresses up as Jesus at a theme park and he's trying to prove a point.
Well, the thing is, though, right? I mean, everything else in your Penn and Teller is bullshit.
Every
single program called him Penn and Teller's bullshit. Where the people
nope.
the subject and the goal, right? We're gonna disprove this.
Yeah.
But the idea of that, I mean, the same thing with religious, because the idea is it's like, I'm going to interview all these high class scientists, and for religious people, interview a priest, no, a bishop, no, some nut on a street corner who's shouting, "I believe in Jesus." He'll interview that guy, won't he? So, you know, because he's like, "I don't know about faith." Wink, wink. It's so one-sided.
That's like really, obviously, just not going to be good. But Encounters at the End of the World at 10, on my list is I was so taken with the imagery and everything. It's Werner Herzog, and he literally starts out and he says at the beginning of the film, "I have no idea what's going to happen in this film. I'm just going to film whatever happens to me." And he got funding to go down to is it the Antarctic at the bottom?
Antarctic, yes, it's near the bottom, where the penguins are.
Yeah,
that's what I know.
He goes down to the bottom of the world, and sees what the people there are like, and all these people are just some mad stories. There's like the guy who was related to an Aztec king. There was a woman who crossed who went across America in a tube. There were all sorts, and then also he goes. They get this massive drill, like 4 or 5 stories high, this drill, and they put it into the ground, drill a hole in through this iceberg, and then they put explosives into the hole, blow it up, and then they jump into the hole under the iceberg, and they film under the iceberg, and it's like palaces and crystals and stuff all like coming down, so it looks like, you know, like the Disney palace thing.
Yes.
Well, it looks kind of like that, but upside down at the bottom of the icebergs, and all of these amazing creatures that like never seen before for like 10 minutes with this crazy opera music going on in the background. It's really worth checking out.
I'm set now, yeah.
I was just.
Because I know Herzog's a crazy guy, because didn't he want to threaten someone with a gun to be in one of his films?
Yeah, he did, yeah. He's mad.
He's a mad motherfucker. Crazy. I saw it.
Yeah, like.
I've only seen one of his
Have you
films.
seen.
I've only seen Rescue Dawn.
Yeah, that's not the most. Like, he did literally. You know the part whenever Christian Bale gets dragged behind a ball?
Yes.
He's getting dragged behind a ball.
Lovely.
You know, he's that sort of guy, but he made a film called Even Dwarfs Start Small, which is based in a world where everyone's a dwarf. And I haven't seen it, but I know I've been told that there's a dwarf who's only in the film because he sits in the corner and laughs. Like, you know, in Evil Dead, the woman who twists her head and
oh,
laughs.
yeah.
He laughs like that, and that's all his character does the whole way through the film, and it's all these midgets running around on motorbikes and stuff.
So, I think it was a film where the midgets just go nuts, isn't that it?
Yeah.
Sounds creepy. Like a film I'll probably never see.
Have you seen Eraserhead?
Yes.
That's the scariest film I've ever seen. No doubt about it. That film scared me.
That film, that was just like insanity. Isn't it? That's all. It's just insanity.
Oh, I read a thing with David Lynch. And do you know what he said? The film, what inspired him to make the film? When he found out his girlfriend was pregnant. So, like, his daughter, and she's got this film, and, oh, yeah, this is you being conceived, you know? Some woman in a radiator with creamy cheeks. Some mutant baby that blows up and then eats me. And I love, that's one of my favourite films, but it's messed up.
Race Ahead, it's Lynch going, right, open your mouth, I'm gonna mouth rip you for the next hour and a half. That's what he does. Mouth rip you, good boy. He just sits down and says that, okay. You know,
have you seen the mock advert for the iPhone with him?
No.
Because he's ranting, he's like, you know all these people who watch movies on their mobile phones?
Oh.
They don't watch the movie. They think they've seen the movie, but they haven't watched the movie.
I think people aren't concentrating anymore. It's just, you know, I think I've seen that one.
It's well funny. And then at the end, it just goes iPod, and it's like, bim, bim, that music. It's really American.
Boop, boop, boop.
Oh, the Americans are funny people. I'm going to see Inglourious Bastards tomorrow. I am. I love that film. Right, okay. Next is Coraline, which he talked about, which I was really taken with it. I thought it was really original, well made.
Bit of gay man. Bit of gay man.
Yeah.
Oh-ho.
It's not Brokeback Mountain. Oh, have you seen Bad Education?
Almodovar, no.
Oh, I shouldn't have watched that film. Like, Allison was like, oh yeah, this guy's amazing, you know, watch all of his films. And I was like, okay. Bought a box set of his films. One film, Bad Education, has two, like, 12-year-old kids in a cinema, and both of these kids go to a Catholic school, right? They're in a cinema tossing the other one off.
Oh.
And he dresses up as a woman. You know the guy out of Amores Perros?
Which one?
He's in that look. He's the guy in Babel who drives the car away. He's Che Guevara in Motorcycle Diaries.
Oh, I know me, yeah. I know me.
Che Guevara. Yeah, it's him, right? He dresses up as a woman, and, like, he's not good-looking as a woman, but he passes off as being a good-looking woman in the film. It's weird film. It's amazing to look at, but it's a weird film.
Didn't they make one where there's some nurse who's, like, shagging a patient or something?
And I haven't seen that. I've seen that. Bad Education I've seen. I've seen Live Flesh, which had the most, like, erotic cover, but was, like, one sex scene in the whole film. It was his best one with Javier Bardem. You know, the guy from Ricky Cristina Barcelona.
Yes.
And it was quite good because he loses movement in his legs. and he becomes a pro basketballer. Quite interesting.
That sounds a bit messed up.
Oh no, it's a pro disabled basketballer.
Oh good. I hope
it's not like him on the wheelchair playing with Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant.
Michael just kicks him in the face. He falls off the wheelchair crying. So it's not like The Ringer, then with Johnny Knoxville. Have you seen that film?
I've seen what?
The Ringer, the Johnny Knoxville movie.
Oh yeah.
Where he pretends to be disabled.
It's quite funny actually. Yeah,
how
like
did that film get made?
You just pass off being disabled though.
Yeah.
There was this other one where it's Almodovar and it's Antonio Banderas kidnapping a porn star. Something like that, I can't remember, but
awesome.
It was really weird. Tie me up, tie me down. Anyway, right. Broken Embraces I haven't seen, but it looks quite good actually.
Yeah, the cruise again, isn't it?
Then Drag Me to Hell.
What number are you on there? Sorry, I don't know you have numbers to listen.
Eight, Drag Me to Hell. So 9, Coraline, 8, Drag Me to Hell, which is just awesome. 7 is Three Monkeys, which is this Turkish art house film, but it's like a mystery where this guy gets paid to... His boss hits someone in the car, and this guy gets paid to take the blame and be the driver and take the blame for the crash, and he'll get paid. And while he's in prison, the family take the money so the son can get a job, because he needs a car for the job. I can't remember what the job is. And it just basically creates conflict, and it's just really well shot, really deep kind of mystery.
Yeah.
But like, there's so many shots where it just looks like it's like the people sitting there and the sky looks like it's been painted. It's just amazing. I wouldn't be surprised if they were paintings. It's just so beautiful.
Yeah,
it's amazing. All right, then 6, Moon, which I was really taken by. 5 is Star Trek, which was just really, really good fun. 4, you didn't actually put this on, but I thought it was genius, was Synecdoche, New York.
Pretentious.
Did you see that?
Too pretentious for my liking. Sorry. I didn't like it at all.
The Wrestler, number 3. Have you seen it?
Yes, I saw The Wrestler. It doesn't mean I thought it was really good, but I mean, actually that should have been my list. Oh, well.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Well, yeah, basically, Wrestler, whatever, you'll know the story. Mickey Rourke, amazing. It's shot like tracking shots, so it's Ben's wet dream. The ending is brilliant. Alright, so The Wrestler is really,
yeah,
really
but
good.
Is Mickey Rourke being shot on for 2 hours, really, isn't it? How's life just crumbles?
I love the bit when he's running through the corridor and the sound of the people going, ram, 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 and he's running down the corridor and he opens up and then he's at the salad counter.
That's
genius. And it cost like... It was some stupid amount, like 30,000 or something to make.
Wow!
Yeah, have you heard the stories? Mickey Rourke didn't get paid.
Oh, poor Mickey.
Have you heard the stories, right? What? Oh, I've got to say this, right? Mickey Rourke meets Darren Aronofsky in a bar, and he's like, Darren Aronofsky goes, alright, you used to be one of my favourite actors. Now I think you haven't made a good film for years. You're a bad actor, you don't do anything good. The only decent thing you've done is Sin City.
And
blah,
Domino.
Blah, blah, blah.
Have you seen Domino? He was in that.
I have not seen.
You don't want to see
Domino.
It.
I would not watch Domino.
Kieran Knightley, yeah, Bounty Hunter. Dun dun.
And so it's, so he's like, all right, so I want you to make this film with me. You're the perfect person for this role. If you do exactly what I say and nothing else, just what I'm telling you to do, you will get famous again. And Mickey Rourke's like kind of taken back, and he goes, oh yeah, and by the way, I'm not going to pay you. And Mickey Rourke's like, right, I'm making this film. Which is just mad. And did you hear, you know the shot whenever he's like, I just want you to love me again, to his daughter? And he's like crying and all that. Did you hear what Darren Aronofsky did to make him do that shot right? He goes, oh, he's done like 30 takes. And he goes, Mickey, you know, you're not doing it right. You just... You know, and they do another one, and he didn't do it right. And he goes, He pretended to get a phone call, and he goes up to Mickey Rourke, and he goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry, your dog's died." And Mickey Rourke's like, "All right, I've got to go back to LA or wherever right now." And he goes, "No, we need to get the shot, so you know, just do it right." That shot, he did it perfectly, and that's the shot that's in the film because he knew that he had to go back to get his dog. And then he goes, "Right, I'm leaving." He goes, "What? Your dog's not died. I just wanted to get some good shot."
Yeah,
it's just messy, like. Have you heard what Lars von Trier and William Dafoe's, the first time they met for Antichrist? Like, I haven't seen the film, it looks rubbish, but the first time they met, they go to a bar, they get a drink, they leave the bar, and they haven't talked, and they drive to an icy lake, they smash, like, ice in one corner, they both strip naked, and they haven't talked once. This is according to Willem Dafoe, sorry. They haven't talked yet. They jump into the icy lake, both naked, and then they get out, get back in the car, and go, "Right, that was a good meeting. I want you on the film." And they leave. Like, what? Last one, true. Oh, is crazy.
I like the fact now that there are crazy filmmakers still left in the world since Kubrick's dead and Freak has lost his balls. I like how there's still crazy guys exist. But stolen the rest, right, sorry. I would say his relationship with his daughter was so it was brilliant. His daughter, it was the fact that you know she hated him for years. She starts to trust him again. Then he fucks her over one more time, and that's it. She's given him his last chance, and that's it. I mean, he's totally lost it. He had the chance, but he thought he'd snort some coke and fuck that girl. It's just it's just the way he.
I know. Yeah.
But the thing is, the fact that he brings it on himself. He has a chance to meet with his daughter. But we see for that day. It's brilliant when they get back together. And he brings that horrible coat.
Oh,
I think it was the daughter that really got me in that film. Him and Mr. Tomei, it's alright, but I think the daughter that really got me. Really got me. Damn it, right, fuck that. Right, yeah. From my list, I'm going to loot. Right, so I'm going back a second. Right, fanboys can fuck off, because The Wrestler's going at number 3. Done. Yep.
The Wrestler?
Yep.
Above In the Loop? Oh, cool.
Yeah.
It's a good film. The first time I saw it, I was just blown away. I thought it was like one of the best films I've ever seen. But then I rewatched it, and I wasn't as like the first time I watched it. I cared for
Randy the Ram Robinson.
What is it? Randy the Ram. I just cared for him so much, and it just. But then the second time I watched it, you know, I was just like really sad for him because I knew what was gonna happen because
he blatantly died. Spoilers.
Yeah. But you know,
oh well.
Whatever. I might just say, oh yeah, we're gonna spoil The Wrestler, Inglourious Basterds, and Synecdoche, New York.
You could call spoilers, lol. Is that little spoilers, lol? Yeah. But
we'll see whenever.
But it's
obsessive.
But I mean, just more now. I forgot how good it was. I just totally forgot, and it's just the thing that daughter really got me. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's just, it's, I thought it was a really good film. Anyway, and then at number 2, Let the Right One In. And to be honest, like, the more I think about it, the less I have to say about it. It's just a really good film. There's not much to say, really.
It's also the shot, though, isn't it? It sounds silly, but you've got to watch it to appreciate it. You can't be told, oh, it's brilliant because of this, this, and this. You have to, like, watch the shot, watch how the story progresses. Like, in the relationship between Ellie and Oscar, you've got to see how that progresses to, you know, fully. You had to fully fall in love with the film.
Yeah. Alright, and then number 1, exactly the same as you, Inglourious Basterds. I just, the more I think about it, this film is just mint. It's just amazing, wicked, whatever you want to say. You know, it's really cool, it's genius, it's great fun, it's just, I don't know why everybody's saying it's rubbish. I actually don't understand. The only things I think are bad in it, Mike Myers is just awful. I was expecting the little finger to come up to his mouth, or you know,
but
say shag
that
once.
That seems so creepy because of Churchill sitting in the corner on the piano. What was that about? Just Churchill in the corner at the piano. What the fuck is like? And David Lynch directed this scene. You know, it was like something from Twin Peaks.
Yeah, but do you know what else is really nice? The makeup job on his forehead that's not on his mouth and around his face. I don't. I think that was like It's not the worst makeup job of the year. The worst is oh, what's his name? It's like Golga. What's her name? Summer Gugin or something. The mother out
there. Oh yes.
Watchmen.
She.
Oh, what's her name?
Yeah, she was.
Carla Gugini. Because
was she like 30 and Malcolm Nachman was like 26, something like that? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm your really mother because
I'm like in the 60s. No, you're not, love. You're like 30, but you pretend to be like 60. Don't.
So, Carla Gugino.
Sorry. I could do only one better for terrible makeup. Richard Nixon in Watchmen. He looks like a cartoon character.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Watchmen. Yeah. I love you so, but your makeup was terrible.
Bad. There was some really good stuff in it, but I didn't think it was as good as everything else seemed to. Except. It was good. It was. I don't think they're ever going to make it any better. Like, it's just, you can't. The source material's too deep, but, you know, I couldn't explain why the book Watchmen is so deep. It just is. And the film's pretty much the same. But it's. They've taken. Yeah, it doesn't feel. There's no substance to it. Obviously, there's, you know, world. The end of the world and all that lot. But there's no. I don't know. I can't explain it. It just doesn't seem. All the substance is like on top. You know, you don't have to think about the film. As long as, like, obviously, if you understand what's happening, you don't have to think about the film. And there's no moral choices or anything. It's just, this is what happens. You know, you watch something like Three Monkeys or The Class or something, or Let the Right One In. Perfect example. Let the Right One In, mm-hmm. And you have to think, and you realize this isn't. Love, this is her manipulating him. Is he manipulating her? Whatever. And there's arguments to and against. Synecdoche, New York made no sense until I thought about it for ages. And then I loved it, you know? Watchmen, it just felt, alright, this is what's happened, you've watched it, it's the end of the film. Like, it's a clever popcorn film.
Mean, it's just made it struck a chord. I don't know why it was. It's I mean, with a lot of films, it's like, if they catch you in the right way, it's just, you love them, it's like Drag Me to Hell. If you like, yeah, but it's like Raimi films, isn't it? If you love Raimi films, if they catch you, that's it, they've got you. You're gonna love them, but if you don't, you're gonna think they're stupid. Because the way.
Oh, I watched Evil Dead 2 with some of my mates like once, and they were like, this is rubbish. I thought you liked all your arty films. This is like badly made. Not funny film. I'm like, no, it's genius. You idiots. They just didn't understand.
I recommended him Evil Dead. So all the other ones for my mates. I gave him, yeah, you know, these are good films. And he goes, it was shit. It wasn't scary at all. That isn't the point. That's not the fucking point of these films.
Well, it's the point of the first one, but then unintentionally became a comedy, and you know. I don't understand how they could ever make a film.
Tree rape. I mean, how could that? How could be anyway serious? Or what's called? Oh, I mean, just a lot. Some bits in that film. It's just at the end. Though, I mean, the demons in that film. How many of them seriously at all? Or at the end when they dissolve and you become plasticine.
Well, this part of the show we basically talk about stuff that's coming up in the future. So. Trailers that we've seen, images, new, like, news to do with whatever, so casting, directors, whatever, and films that we're looking forward to. So, the first on the list, because it's just in alphabetical order, because it's the easiest, the first on the list, A Serious Man. Have you seen the trailer for this?
Yes, I watched it earlier on. I mean, it's the Coens, isn't it?
Brilliant. Yeah, it's a brilliant trailer.
Yes, it's them back to the comedies. If it's better than
it'll be a good one.
If it's better than Burn After Reading, I'll be happy. If it's not,
I don't know how it couldn't be better than Burn After Reading.
Most things are better than Burn After Reading. That was an absolutely appalling film.
Yeah, it was. It was really, really bad.
Yeah.
Oh, just remembering that film. Just watching Frances McDormand squeeze a flab.
Oh.
Isn't my thing.
Oh, sorry. that hurts me deep inside.
But yeah, the trailer to this, like the head smashing against the wall and things.
When he goes, help me, everything. Bam, 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 help me. Sounds
Yeah,
like.
and then at the end, he's like, the rabbi's busy. He's not doing anything. He's busy thinking.
It's brilliant that.
It's just.
Oh, it's very, very good. Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Alright, so on to now episode. You get to Alice in Wonderland or Tim Burton Fucks Another Fairy Tale?
I know, I just. The images, I was like, yes, he's doing this right. And then you see the trailer, and it's like, this is Alice. She's going to Wonderland. She'll meet all of these different people. And I was like, what? I thought this was going to be like a 15 and
Yeah.
dark and violent.
I
But
can't.
no, it's.
I can't believe. I just can't believe Disney are making it. Disney are putting the money behind this.
I know.
Disney,
It's just.
we brought you Pinocchio, Pocahontas, and now this shit.
Although, I do think the design is absolutely amazing. Like.
It's so Burton. It's unbelievable.
And the casting, actually, as well, the more I think about it, is perfect. Like, there's Johnny Depp as the Mad Hatter, obviously. There's Anne Hathaway as the White Witch or Queen or whatever.
The White Witch
And
of the
then
West.
there's Stephen Fry as the Cheshire Cat, which is just perfect. Alan Rickman as the Centipede Thing, which is also just
Oh yes,
perfect.
the hash smoking centipede.
Exactly. And then
Oh yeah. Sorry.
there's Helena Bonham Carter as the Queen of Hearts. What else is there? There's a few other things that I can't remember, but it's just. I don't know. I'll see it in the cinema in
Oh, definitely.
3D.
It's
Oh,
3D.
3D, I've just remembered that
Oh,
Tintin in 3D.
have you seen that stunt guy has come out and spoiled Tintin and Iron Man 2 and all those movies? Some
No?
stunt guy who worked on Tintin, Iron Man 2, and all the films has come out and started dishing the dirt on all those movies.
As if.
If you go onto the Slash Film blog. Right, and look on
Yep.
there. There's some guy, some guy who's dishing her out and going, "Well, yeah, Tintin looks really good. It's sort of like a cartoon, but it's real life." He's going on about what Tintin's actually like, and it's like, "Dude, you're so
Oh well,
fired."
you are. Well, we already knew, like Tintin's the motion capture or whatever that like Beowulf, and like you actually look at it, it looks really good. There's it's directed by Steven Spielberg, which is obviously gonna make it quite good.
Yeah.
It's 3D, which arguably is good or bad, you don't know. There's Tintin's Jamie Bell, isn't it?
I believe so.
Yeah, and then what's the name of the couple who Simon Pegg and Nick Frost are playing?
Oh, I can't remember. But
But yeah,
the
there's that
brothers, aren't they?
double.
I can't remember the odds.
Yeah, and there's loads of stuff like that. So it's probably gonna be good, but I don't know. Literally, the only thing I know about Tintin is that he's a Nazi,
Yeah.
but he won't be a Nazi because
I hate
he's
these
directed by
guys.
Steven Spielberg.
Sorry, to quote The
It's
Last
directed
Crusade.
by. Exactly. It's directed by Steven Spielberg, who directed Schindler's List, Saving Private Ryan,
Munich.
Raiders of the Lost
I
Ark,
don't know why I put
Munich.
Munich, but yeah.
But he directed. He is. There's the Jew Hunter in Inglourious Basterds. He's the Nazi. He's the Inglourious Bastard. He
Yes.
hates Nazis.
He's a Nazi hunter,
But.
as it were.
So, yeah,
The
exactly.
convex, whatever he thinks it was.
He's the. And Tintin is a. Tintin's like the Jew Hunter. He's a detective during World War II.
Yeah.
Actually, that'd be good. Christopher Waltz as Tintin. Oh, that's the
Oh,
film, man.
no, I see one better. Christoph Waltz as the Mad Hatter in Alice in Wonderland. Imagine
I'm
that for a few
sorry?
moments. Christopher Waltz as the Mad Hatter in Alice in Wonderland.
That would be
He
brilliant.
just shoots
Oh, the best
Alice.
bit.
Bang.
Christopher Waltz, the best bit in Inglourious Basterds is whenever he goes, that's a bingo! And he goes.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I hated that moment. It was so goofy and just ha ha ha. He said, "I'm German." Ha ha ha.
What? I thought it was. It's just so camp, but at the same time, really, really scary. It's just.
Well, I actually miss him because he's a guy who's being uncouth, but he can still stab you in the eyes at a drop of a hat.
Exactly. Oh, but the shot, the last, like, the couple of shots whenever they put in the Schwarzstecker, I can't say that word,
Swastika.
when they're putting it on, yeah, and they're putting it on his head, and it's just, like, showing it all in his skin, like, parting. And before Brad Pitt obviously just says, "No, I think this is my masterpiece."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Sorry. Right, so I'm onto the next trailer.
All right, okay.
Avatar.
Avatar. Oh, this is. I really don't know whether this is going to be the new Star Wars or the new Waterworld. I really don't know.
I'm
But.
see, I'm hoping for stars, but I know my heart of hearts. If Cameron's so opens up at this point, you know, because I mean, from the trailer, the effects look amazing, but the story looks so bland and generic. I mean, it's totally unfair for me to judge from the trailer what the story's going to be.
What's the story? Just are they making a new species and then they
Well,
turn on
no, I
them?
think it's something. No, it's something like they go to this planet to mine fuel, but there's indigenous species there that's kind of pissed off them being there. So Sam Worthington and a few others like become these creatures to make peace or something. That's what I can guess from the trailers and what I've read, like scraps I've read online.
I thought, I have no idea. All I thought it was just from the trailer was Sam, whatever his name is,
Sam Worthington.
he's disabled and all. Yeah, he's disabled because he's in a wheelchair and he's like breathing through a thing and all that. And he's disabled and they make him this blue guy. And then it's like a new race for the army who like turns against them. That's like that is totally what I got from the trailer and nothing else I know because. I've deliberately not looked it up too much because I don't want to wreck it even
Well,
more
the
than,
thing is,
yeah.
right? I'm probably not going to watch the full length trailer when it comes out. It's going to be hard, but I will just totally shut off from the internet. All the film blogs, all the film podcasts that I listen to, so I'll just turn them all off. Because I mean,
No, I don't think I'll do. I don't think I'll go that far. I'm happy just seeing the trailer. I've seen plenty of images and
well, the
stuff.
thing is, it's the big thing with T2. During the big spoiler there, where it's like Arnie's good this time. See, because I
Yeah.
don't want to come with this one, you know, his next Cameron project. I really don't want to get spoiled, because I was spoiled on a big death on the wire, and ever since I've been totally annoyed by it. It's been about a year and a half now, but I'm still pissed off. That's just me. Anyways, now, oh
All
shit!
right, okay. Well, Avatar
Also,
looks
all right, yes,
really.
Avatar does look. It looks okay, but as I say, the effects are wow, but. The rest of it looks a bit meh. That's just me.
Yeah. Oh, and it's also got, you know, the guy from Dodgeball who falls in love with the crazily
Oh yeah, him.
ugly-looking woman. I just saw him in the background pushing the wheelchair. He looks just so out of place. The only things I've seen him in is Dodgeball and the trailer for The Hottie and the
Ah
Mom,
yes,
the
that
film that's
opus.
based on finding Paris Hilton attractive. So, you know. I don't know why he's in the film.
Well, it's got a purpose in it, you know, purpose, story, lines, a character, everything.
All right, okay. All
Right,
right.
on the next one, District 9. I'm seeing this on Friday. Oh,
Yeah,
yeah.
look, I might somehow go and see it sometime, but I don't
Well, you know.
know. I've heard on Twitter a lot. Oh no, I wasn't meaning illegally. Like, I don't want to fund terrorism. Oh yeah, of
Rules to live
course.
by.
But
But the District
I
9.
read a review of District 9 and it said this film is like amazing. It goes by so quickly. It feels like you're watching Alien or Terminator for a first time. I was like, what? So it's gonna be
From what I
amazing.
hear, I mean the concept sold me right away, because it's the idea of like aliens, like I think a species lands above, like starts floating above Johannesburg in South Africa, and the fact that it's South Africa, you know, not you, not New York, not LA, not in America, you know, South Africa. You know, so it's like a place that, like, cinematically hasn't been that represented. You know, you in your mind, like, you know, for like most films, for like say, you know, for a lot of films, you have like for cities, you have like that film set there, but for, like, Johannesburg is totally, like, it's like almost new ground to a lot of the cinematic audience. Yeah, so
Yeah.
I'm watching it, and then I watch of them. They go on spaceship, they drill into the spaceship, they get these aliens out, and they move them into like this little ghetto, and the idea is the 20 years later on, they're moving them to another part, like further outside the city, because causing crime within the city. But it's only documentary stuff, like news
Yeah.
footage and all things like that. But it looks so great, because it's sort of like it's kind of like one of those, like down with the system films, because like the news stories aren't meant to be like 100% true, or that type of thing.
Yeah, I read also that it's like also got the thriller element to it, because some guy, I saw a trailer for it today in Glorious Bastards, some guy, and he gets like the nuclear weapon kind of thing, and it sprays in his face, and he's like, his arm turns alien, and so obviously he can't go back to the army, so because he just get tested on and stuff, so he's on the run, and that's what like the plot for like the central character is.
But you know what? I was saying as well at the end of like those mech suit things, sort of like, you know, that we got the beard who has his arm turned a little bit, and what's called you see him in sadly it's kind of like a mech suit thing where it's like all the screens appear in front of him and start like fighting. It looks awesome because it looks like the film I'm exactly in the mood for.
I know. Yeah. Have you seen the bit whenever they catch the missile?
Yeah.
Oh, I was just because I was in the cinema and I got there like 20 minutes early. Yeah. So yeah, it was, and then District 9 was the first trailer and it was like all serious, and then this like robot caught a missile. I was like, yes, this is gonna be mint.
Yeah, because in most of the respect, it's like, oh, blow up the ship, and the guy kills it at the last second, but it's like, no, I'm nailing it, I'm gonna grab this missile, fuck you.
Exactly, it's just gonna be.
It looks amazing. I'm so excited for it, but the thing is, I'm going with expectations, but the thing is, people are saying it's better than you can ever imagine. That may sound a bit, you know, a bit okay.
No, but that's because in America, they got it like 2 weeks ago, and in America, they didn't know anything about it, so now they're like, wow, this is the new Alien. And so now we're expecting, because we get everything late, we're expecting the new Alien, and we're going to get quite a good sci-fi film.
But the thing is,
which isn't a surprise.
But the thing is, a friend of mine gave me the first 10 minutes to Sweet Baby Jesus and the Orphans. It's fucking incredible, the first 10 minutes of seeing. Because my friend lent me this film on DVD from America or something. I was the first 10 minutes and thought, no, I'm watching the cinema. I'm not watching it here. It's too good.
Yeah.
I have to go to the cinema to see this.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, at first, I was like, this looks rubbish. It looks like a bunch of cockroaches. And the more I've seen of it, I'm like, this looks amazing. I just can't wait. And it's coming out on Friday, and I'm just...
Yeah, because I'm waiting for ages, because the thing is, when I said it was, I thought, right, it's the first day, so I really pissed off when I said it was September, because I found like months ago when the first trailer hit.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for this film for such a long time.
Well, like, I didn't realise that it's actually really popular until today when I went to a cinema, and it's the front cover of Cineworld, which is to Americans and children, is like... It's like View or Empire or whatever cinemas, like, it's the chain cinema, and it's like the cheap, like, cinema where they bungle you all into a little room, well, not a little room, a cinema, obviously, and try and get as much money from you as possible. I was looking at the cinema prices, a normal ticket after 6 o'clock is £7. Like, oh, that just made me kind of mad. But I paid £3 to go and see Inglourious Basterds, so I don't mind.
And you'll see it again.
In an empty cinema. Yeah, £3 in an empty cinema to go and see a Tarantino film where I can laugh out loud, I can go, and whatever, and it's just, oh, it was so good. I'm going to see that again tomorrow. Anyway, Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
Oh, yes, a bit of the old Terry Gilliam.
Heath Ledger's last film.
Well, yeah.
I'm really surprised by how good it looks like. I didn't think they'd be able to pull off. Like, obviously, Heath Ledger died ages ago now, like 2 years or something.
No, it's a year and a half gone, because he died last January.
A year and a half. Was it a year and a half ago, and they've obviously had to make this film. And so he goes into a mirror, and a different actor is playing the same character. And I was amazed. They got Jude Law...
Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp and Colin Farrell all to play character, and they all look just like him, but they obviously are Colin Farrell, Jude Law, and Johnny Depp.
No.
And it works so well. I was
no,
amazed.
No.
Just in
have you heard the story about what they did in this film as well? What's called right? No. I give these guys massive respect for what they did for this film. Even Jude Law, I hate him, but you've got to give it up. Right, basically, in Heath Ledger's will, before he died, he had like a 2-year-old daughter who, in his will, he didn't write into it because he wrote it years before. So when he died, he wouldn't get any money. So basically, Johnny Depp, Heath Ledger, Jude Law, and Colin Farrell just went, right, for this film, whatever you get paid, give to her, all three of them.
Oh, that's nice.
You've got to get.
That's really respectable.
Yeah, you've got to give him maximum. I mean, Jude Law's a knobhead, but still, you've got to give him maximum. If he can be that, you know, if he has that, if he can just do that, he can't be a complete cunt, can he?
Oh, well, yeah. You never know, really. Do you know, okay, guilty pleasure time. I really like The Holiday.
Oh.
Yeah, okay, I'm really sorry. You know, the music is mint. The acting's atrocious. It's just fun. And there's one bit which is actually really the music. I actually bought the CD just for this moment. It's that good. It's just like, you know, the typical cliched thing of Kate Winslet not wanting this guy in her life anymore. But the music is just like so good.
Yeah, I'll just.
I own The Holiday soundtrack. There you go, people.
Yes.
You are listening to someone that owns The Holiday soundtrack. No, I've got to cut that now, because otherwise we'll lose everyone who might have
all three of them. They'll be quite upset.
Exactly.
Right, so next trailer, we're going to The Road from Cormac McCarthy's novel.
Right, this is
brilliant novel.
My favorite fictional book, and it's just, oh, it's so good, yeah. And it's so simple. The one thing I'm really worried about is that they overcomplicate it, because in the book, there's nothing to do with what happened. The characters in it know what happened. You don't need to know what happened. It's all about the characters. In the trailer, it starts off, there has been whatever happening in America and all that lot. And I was like, what? But after that, this film, right? I've probably gone on about it too much in one episode. I'll probably sound like a stalker. In this film, my favorite book, Charlize Theron, Viggo Mortensen, Guy Pearce, the director of The Proposition. Oh, how could it not be good?
Yeah, well the thing is, when I saw the trailer is far, far too action-oriented, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, have you read the book?
Yeah, several times.
Yeah, that's like every single bit of action in the entire book is in the trailer. Like, I'm expecting the rest of the film to just be like talking. Well, not every bit, I suppose.
The big set piece at the end of the trailer is with the cannibals, you know, where the guy has the gun and he shoots that one cannibal. That's it, though. In the book, that's all there is action wise. But in the film, they played up in the trailer.
Sorry.
In the book, that's like the big action moment, nothing else. But in the trailer, they played up as being like, oh, it's all like this, when it's blatantly not.
Yeah, no. But anyway, this is probably kind of a spoiler, but I don't think so. The bit whenever they go into the house and they open the basement and there's all the naked, like, dead, whatever, I don't know, people in there. And they chase them. That is the most tense I've been in any type of media ever. You know, like film, TV, book, whatever. I just literally sat there, like, on the edge of my seat reading that. Like, that was so hard to read. It was unbelievable.
I was tense though. Join Inglourious Bastards. The first scene when you see him talking.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine. Yeah, buddy.
All right. Okay. Yeah. That was bloody tense. That.
Yeah, but
the music. Yeah, but gave it away a bit.
Well, yeah. It's just, I'm getting some wicked feedback.
Whoa, I'm getting some wicked feedback.
Alright, wait a second.
Any better? Yeah, it's gone now.
Ow. Yeah, my headphones have come undone, but now they're at full volume again.
Okay, okay.
So you're blowing my head off. It's like scanners, as you were saying. Alright, okay, it's alright now.
No problem. Yeah, so. So they're saying about the road being so tense and such. I'm looking forward to it. It's been pushed back twice, but I'm so looking forward to it.
It's one of my, like, highest things to look forward to. Well, Inglourious Basterds was, but it's really has delivered. I've gone on about that so much this episode. I might just call like this episode Roundup of the Year and Inglourious Basterds because it's just such a good film.
It's yeah. Well, I think you need to see it. It's one of those. You have to see this film, love it or hate it.
In the cinema. In the cinema.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Definitely.
Just. Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Next one will
Right,
be
okay.
Sherlock Holmes.
Ouch, Jude Law.
Yes.
Robert Downey Jr. is cast perfectly. I think he could be the perfect Sherlock Holmes. But Guy Ritchie is a
Yeah, but I
director.
mean, but from the
And.
trailer,
Ugh.
it looked like Lock, Snatch, and Two Smoking Detectives. Just.
Exactly. That was very clever of you, by the way.
Thank you. I've been working on that for a while.
It does look just. Oh, I don't. I might not even go and see it unless it
I
gets.
won't. I mean, Robert Downey is a good actor, but still, if the story sucks and it's Guy Ritchie.
I turned off Snatch, and I was bored in Lock, Stock. I don't care about these geezers losing the money. I want them to lose the money. They deserve to lose the money. Kill them all. The fact that the most emotional moment in the two films comes from Vinnie Jones sums up the entire
Hi,
experience for me.
I'm Vinny. I'm the Juggernaut, bitch. I've seen X-Men 3, The Last Stand. I'm the
Yeah, I
Juggernaut,
know
bitch.
Juno get Juno
Yeah.
versus Football Factory. It's just
Yeah.
such a
Oh,
stupid
Juno, I
conceit.
hate her so much, but Juno isn't a bad film at all. But I think he's a prick. As a person, from interview,
I
from what
think.
I've seen in interview, she's like, it's sort of like Tarantino. I respect his work, but as a person, I don't like him at all.
Did you see Tarantino do Ant and Dec's Saturday Night
No.
Live? He was, you know, on Saturday Night Live, they've got someone saying, "Hello, this is Ant and Dec's Saturday Night
Yeah.
Live," or whatever. Tarantino once did it and was like, "Hi guys, I'm Tarantino. Yeah, man, this is really cool. I'm really glad to be on here, man," and all that. And, you know, talking really fast and really
Yeah.
cool and all whatever. And he was on Ant and Dec.
And Deck, where are they now?
I don't know. I mean, he should be ashamed of himself for doing
He
that.
made Death Proof. He saved his penance.
Death
I don't
Proof's
like it at
alright.
all.
I know, I can see why no one liked it at all, but it's
I
good
met him,
fun.
about 2 years ago. When Death Proof was going, I say what's called in my local art cinema. Tarantino was give they shown the film and Tarantino was doing a Q&A afterwards. Couldn't get tickets. I was gutted.
Was that it? Oh no. Who was it? Is did
Yeah.
you meet him? Was it at
He was in
HMV or something?
Virgin, yeah.
Yeah, because I remember talking to you before I really knew who you were, and seeing the picture of you, and you said that he thought if you were a girl, he thought
Oh
you were
no,
pretty or
he said,
something.
I think I smiled on him, and you've got a nice smile for a man. And as I'm walking, he goes, I'm not coming on to you. That was creepy. Quick.
You told me that like when I first started like Simply Syndicated
Yeah.
and everything.
Yes.
When I had insomnia and talked until 3 o'clock in the morning to people in Australia and Hong
Yes,
Kong.
Quentin Tarantino wanted to bugger me. I'm not proud of it, but
Well, you know.
he made Bastards, and
Right,
you know,
well, we haven't really talked about Sherlock Holmes because it
yeah,
looks
sure,
rubbish.
but you know,
But, you know. Although I did laugh at the end of the trailer.
oh, it's.
Because it's quite clever wordplay, you know. Release. And his willy's
Yeah.
under there. The key to my
Lies
release, you know,
under this
just
cushion.
quite
Madam, don't be
funny.
alarmed.
It
Yeah.
is quite funny. But the first time I saw the trailer was when I went to see G.I. Joe. Yes, I saw G.I.
Ooh.
Joe.
CGI Joe.
It was better than Transformers
Most
2.
things are.
No, it wasn't. Actually, no. When I think about it wasn't.
CGI Joe.
Anyway. Exactly. And so. What was I saying? Oh yeah, first time I saw Sherlock Holmes trailer. G.I. Joe, full of thick 15-year-old kids. I'm 15, but I can still say it. 15-year-old kids who like Transformers and G.I. Joe. And they're like, "Whoa, that looks well good!" And it made me
Oh,
really
the
angry.
worst of that is when I saw when I saw Harry Potter, right, and I was up to my screen who
Yeah.
hadn't read the books. I'm thinking, who's seen a film who hasn't read the books in this day and age, really now, right? And I was a fucking nervous because it's going, who's he then? Oh my God, he's dead! really? No fucking shit. How could you not know the end of this book? It's like the biggest spoiler of the last 10 years. It's
yeah,
up there,
it was, kinda. And it's really obvious.
But,
even
you know,
if you don't know.
It's up there with Sixth Sense. You know, I mean, the spoiler that everyone knows.
I didn't know the spoiler to Sixth Sense, and I guessed it. I actually genuinely guessed the end of Fight Club 5.
Oh no, you fucking
did.
So I was like, no one guesses the end.
No, honestly, right? You know the bit whenever he's walking through the airport and there's the flicker of Tyler Durden on the like flat escalator thingy? I was like, right, okay, spoiled. Right, he's in his mind. And that was just like, oh, I bet it is. It wasn't, right, I know the ending's going to be that. I was like, oh, yeah, it'd be good if it was all in his mind. And then it was all in his mind. And I was like,
then they play the Pixies, Where Is My Mind? Fucking love the Pixies.
I know, they're my favourite band, and that's all because of Fight Club. All because of Fight Club. I downloaded that song, I bought the best of, then I bought every single album they've ever done. They're the best band.
I love
the
Pixies. Sorry.
The pictures are amazing.
Alright then, so our next trailer top of here is Shutter Island.
Yep,
Scorsese does a horror.
I know, it's gonna be good, hopefully. Look, I don't even really understand what it's about. Some guy
first of all, I want to say as well, this is pushed back to November next year. February of next year. It's meant to be November this year, but it got pushed back to February next year.
Oh, right, that's not that bad. I thought you meant
years. Yeah, that'd be painful, and I'd probably go nuts in that time. But the idea of the film is that DiCaprio plays a secret service agent who's called to this insane asylum on this Shutter Island because a patient's gone missing. Yeah, and he starts unravel this mystery of these doctors might be like experimenting on people or something. I see that's from guess from the trailer, but you know, because then he goes like, hang on, this woman here seems to think there's like an extra patient or something in the place. So basically, the doctor tries to keep him there and not let him leave. It seems peculiar, but still, it's Scorsese and DiCaprio together again for the third time. I'll go watch it.
Yeah, I'll see it definitely. The trailer looks very promising, but I don't know. Well, I've never seen any Scorsese horror. I know he did Cape Fear, but
that's really a horror. That's more psychological.
Well, yeah, I'm not seeing it, so I don't know. It's just, I don't know.
But the thing is, from the trailer, I can probably tell you a few things that are probably like a big twist in the film, because at certain points, you see like him kissing his wife and his daughter who were like dead or something. But at one point, you see his wife turn to a window and her back's like all burnt, so it's obviously his family like died in a fire or something. And the image like haunt him at night. So I've kind of assumed that. I might be wrong, but I might be right. Alrighty,
Up.
Now, everyone in the US will have seen this and made this point possibly on DVD. We in the UK still haven't got it yet. Cheers, that Pixar.
Why do this to us? I mean,
it's cruel and unusual.
Like, I can only think of three films that I've gone to the cinema to see that we got way before America, and we deserved it. And that was Children of Men, Hot Fuzz, and Casino Royale.
Oh yeah,
they
all
get
British films.
Every film ever. Every film ever.
But still, all three of those films were damn good, though, so it's almost a fair trade. Children of Men is one of the best films of the last 10 years.
I don't know. It's really good, but it's not.
I love the detail. Just a little detail to everything in that film. Everyone's got so many layers.
The best bit of the film, I personally think, is the opening. Just so it just like, all right, yeah. It says right, women are infertile. The youngest person in the world was 18, now it's 19 because the 18-year-old was killed. This is how the world is. Boom, an explosion. I was like, whoa. Sets you up for film.
It is, yeah. I love that. So get back to Up. From what I hear, Up, it's...
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
It's quite a depressing little movie.
I know, it sounds it, but it... Like, scene unseen. Chris and Jimmy, I can't remember which one saw it, he said that it was the best animated film he's seen in his, like, ever.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, for one of them, assume it's some old guy going to look for, like, his dead wife or something.
Where the wild things are. I cannot wait for this.
I'm not...
The trailer is just...
I'm not as buzzed as everyone else, because the thing is, it seems sort of like it seems sort of like a fairy tale that I'm supposed to have grown up with, if you get what I mean. Because from the juice, it's big in America. Like, every American kid had that read to him as a child, but I didn't.
I had it read to me as a child.
I didn't.
Oh, it is a really simple book, so the film will have to add a lot to it. It's a shame Ben's not here, because he thinks it's going to be the best film ever.
Yeah, but the thing is, I mean, I could put that with the Caterpillar film. Ever that kid when you were, the book when you were a kid, Caterpillar, and the Tiger Who Came to Tea, all that sort of thing. Like, you were like, you were 4 or 5.
Oh yeah, Tiger Who Came to Tea. That was a right book.
That's a stage play now. You know, I'm serious.
Yeah,
there's
Shawshank Redemption's a West End musical.
I want to see that musical so much, because it's going to be fucking hilarious.
Ben's going to see it like the opening night or something.
Is he? But
yeah.
I like as well in the work for that, and what's called in the short story, the guy who plays Red, he's some Irish guy, but in the film it's Morgan Freeman, but in the stage play they're making it Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, I was looking at the picture, and they're all so obviously chosen because they look like the people at the film.
Yeah,
it's like a much thinner faced Morgan Freeman, and like a podgier looking everybody else.
Yeah. Tim Robbins, he's a little bit shorter in the stage version.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what it's like.
Oh, well. Whoa, so we've been going now over 2 hours. This will be...
Yeah, I think we should wrap this up now.
Yeah, I think it's about time. This has been a hefty, hefty fit episode one.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for taking so much time. Okay, this was monthly movie roundup. That's what we're going to call it.
All right, monthly movie roundup.
Thanks for listening. Plug whatever you've
all right,
got to plug.
I thought the stopper I'll doing at the end, because this may be like your third attempt at listening to this, or you may have skipped through it. You can find the shit I do at www.cultfiction.mypodcast.com, or find us on iTunes, just type the same search for Cult Fiction. Now, do you want to say as well, most episodes won't be as long as this. This is kind of like the episode one.
Yeah, the reason this has taken so long is because we've gone through our top 15 films. I'm so glad. I was going to say we should do 20. Top 15 films that of the year so far, but every other, like, month, it's going to be every month, the films that everyone's been talking about, the films that are supposed to be good, the rubbish films, and all the films that we've seen.
AKA Inglourious Bastards, this episode at least.
Yeah, this episode's Inglourious Bastards. We spent half an hour on that.
Well, easily. When you work it out.
But yeah, seeing Glorious Bastards is absolutely amazing. I'm going to see it again tomorrow.
As you should, sir. As you should.
Well, yep. Thank you very much for listening. If you're somehow
if you're still here, you're a trooper.
Thank you for listening and whatever.
Thank you very much for listening. I've been Dan then, sort of, maybe.
I've been Sam. Thank you so much if you've got this.
Peace. We out.
Bye.